Hello and welcome to Growing Up B2B. I'm Ed D'Elia, president of D'Elia Associates, the place where B2B brands go to grow. For over 60 years, and now across two generations, we've been helping B2B companies achieve next-level growth through brand distinction, quality lead generation, and sales enablement. Growing Up B2B was created for family business leaders who are passionate about growth, legacy, and making a lasting impact. Whether it's a multi-generational legacy or multiple family members working together, there's something truly magical about blending business with family. And we want to celebrate that right here on Growing Up B2B. So be sure to stick around to the end of the show and find out how you can be our next guest. Okay, let's get into it. Hello and welcome to another episode of Growing Up B2B. I'm your host, Ed D'Elia. I'm the second generation president of D'Elia Associates, the place where B2B brands go to grow. Today, I'm speaking with Adam Nordmeyer, sales and marketing manager at Beeler of America. Adam is part of the third generation in his family working at the company. His mother, Maxine, represents the second generation as CEO, and his sister is also involved in the business. Beeler of America has been delivering precision, high-speed automated manufacturing solutions like stamping, welding, assembly, and injection molding since 1976. They're known for working across industries, including automotive, e-mobility, medical, and industrial sectors. Adam brings over a decade of experience at the company and plays a key role in shaping how Beeler serves North American customers. Adam, welcome to the show. It's great to have you with us today.
Thanks for having me, Ed. How are you doing today?
Doing awesome. Excited for our conversation. So let's start from the beginning, Adam. Tell us, what drew you into working at Beeler to begin with, and what's your journey looked like over these past 12 years?
Yeah, I started working here when I was in high school, growing up in the company. You have a sick day from school, you're at work with your parents. So I feel like I've always been here. I've always been a part of watching the progression of Beeler of America for 39 years now. But I started working here when I was in high school during the summer.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so obviously the family was deeply involved in the business even then. Was joining Beeler something you always knew you'd do or wanted to do? Or were you looking at other paths in addition to that?
Yeah, great question. I was looking at other paths too, because my grandfather, Barry, who started Beeler of America with Vulgan Chun, as well as my parents, they didn't want me to feel like I had to be a part of the family business. They wanted myself and my sister to have other opportunities to write our own book, write our own story. So they were very supportive for both myself and my sister, Faye, to find our own paths, right? So they were very supportive from day one. I went on my own path, and my grandfather said to me, he goes, Adam, if you do come to work at Beeler, at some point in your life, you need to have worked 100 different jobs. Sure, he's exaggerating, but the point was before you come here to do this, you need to make sure this is what you want to do. So go out and try 100 different things. You have nothing to lose. You have all the experience and all the knowledge to gain by doing it, by trying different things.
So it sounds like even though there was maybe an unwritten rule that, hey, if you had some downtime, you'd come in and do some work at the company, there was no pressure on you to say, no. Hey, okay, Adam, this is what you're expected to do as the next generation. And just for context, are you older or younger than your sister, Faye? Where are you guys sitting age?
I'm older. Yep.
Older. Okay.
So I'm 4 years older than Faye is.
Okay. And what is her current role in the business?
Faye is chief of staff. Okay. She's involved in the financial sides of things. Right now, she's involved with our new MRP ERP system and launching that across all of the companies. But the future for Faye is really in the financial side of the company.
I see. Okay. So the two of you are markedly very different in terms of your attributes and predominant skills, it sounds like.
Correct.
Cool. So you joined about 12 years ago, but also obviously had exposure before then even. Faye also, was she involved, like when you were involved, like right alongside you, if you will?
Faye started working here with us after college. So Faye had gone through some different college programs. She made a decision at one point that maybe college wasn't best for her. So she changed her path and she worked outside of Beeler till she was like in her mid-20s. So she
Okay.
hadn't really worked here at Beeler up until she said, I don't want to do what I'm doing anymore. Is there a position at Beeler for me that I can start to get involved? And family, of course, yes. Obviously, if there isn't, we will make it happen. So obviously there was. So then Faye came in, I would say about 5 or 6 years ago now.
So it was a welcome addition, very much, it sounds like, in terms of it sounds like you and your sister have a very good relationship, and it was a welcome addition to the team.
Correct. Yep, absolutely.
Awesome. So talk about that for a minute, Adam. Like, what are some of the valuable lessons you've learned just from this experience of working alongside initially your mother and then later your mother and sister in leadership capacities?
And we have other family members here too. My
Oh,
aunt
you
works
do.
here, my uncle works here. It's really interesting. At one point when earlier in my early days working here, my grandfather was still here at the company day to day. So there was multiple generations of us all here at one time. It's been interesting because you have to leave the family dynamics out of it, right? We're here at work. It's a different hat. It's not, you have to separate, like, your boss is your mom. Your mom is your boss. Your boss is your boss, and your mom is your mom. So it's like certain conversations that we have, it's like she's got the boss hat on. And I've got the sales manager hat on, and we have to take the emotion out of it, right? We have to remove that. We have to remove the family dynamic from the conversation, and we have to think about what is best for the company, what is best for the business, right? So I think that's a really valuable lesson. And I know a lot of people struggle with that inside of a family company, right? It's church and state. We have to keep them separate. So that's been very hard at times, obviously, but we have to pull that emotion out of it. And I think that has been probably for all of us one of the hardest things.
That's a great point. And what are some of the things that you do, or maybe that you and your mom and sister do to make sure that's happening with some consistency? I know it's probably not perfect. How do you set up the guardrails, if you will? Okay, we're a business. We're not going to talk too much about family stuff. We're out at a family gathering. Maybe let's not talk Beeler of America when we're there. Like,
Yeah, you bring up a great point because my mom comes over once a week to see my wife and I's children, her grandchildren, and it's, oh hey, I just real quick, I want to talk about, and it's, nope, stop. We're not talking about work right now. This is not the place. So yeah, guardrails wise, work is work. So generally, I don't talk about family stuff. We try not to, except at lunchtime. Like, I'll go sit in her office and we'll have lunch together. And it's okay, now it's time to talk about what's going on. How are the twins doing? What's going on with school, or what's going to happen with daycare or camps? But yeah, we really try to keep work about work. And then the downtime, like lunchtime or yeah, before 8 o'clock and after 5 o'clock, about family.
Yeah, that's great. That sounds like a very healthy discipline. And you're right, not every family business. And certainly, I've heard the gamut on this program. Some are very organic, some are very disciplined. I think really what it comes down to is what does it work? What works for your family? And it seems like that's a healthy way to go forward with your family.
A challenge, but we try.
Just to circle back, for those that are unfamiliar or haven't heard of Beeler of America, can you briefly describe the core capabilities and the industries you serve? Just a quick snapshot of what Beeler does and what types of companies it works for.
Be glad to. Beeler of America is its own standalone business from Beeler of Germany or Beeler Auto Beeler manufacturing in Germany. Essentially, what we do here in the US, which is different than what Beeler Germany does, we buy a machine. We import a machine from Germany, and it's a blank slate of a machine. It's a blank Beeler machine. There's nothing on the front or the back of the machine. There might be a press, there might be some slides, but there will be no tooling. And what we do here is we work with a customer to take apart and develop the tooling and the process to manufacture that part on a Beeler system. We do the design, we do the development, we do all the tool manufacturing for the Beeler system. Once the machine is here in the US, we then fit all the tooling to the machine, we do the fit, we do the debug, and then generally, yeah, there's runoffs, right? So in a nutshell, that's what we do on the machine building side of things. As a larger company, we also do contract manufacturing where we are known for complex assemblies. So, taking a Beeler system, where we're stamping apart, forming apart, introducing maybe a screw, maybe welding a contact, maybe taking an injection molded part or injected molded parts or an injected molded part. We're bringing in another metal part that needs to be welded to the assembly, adding screws or other fasteners to that assembly, and creating something like a light switch or an electrical outlet from pretty much strip and plastic granular that is injected molded. So we have a high level of automation here, and we're able to marry all these technologies together on a Bühler system to create a true turnkey automation system for today.
That's pretty amazing in that many companies basically will just do one of those functions, and you're doing like seven
Yeah,
or
they'll
more.
take one function. They'll say, we're going to stamp the part. So they have a press, feed a material, boom, part comes out. Then take that bin of parts and they go to the next step. And that might be a hand assembly, and it might require all these fixtures and all these little, a fixture here, a little assembly station over here. And it just adds up, right? Because there's so many hands touching it. So they come to us and say, hey, we're making a million of these widgets, but we want to make 10 million of these widgets. How do we get away from all these steps in the product? How can we automate this process? And that's what we're really good at, that technical automation. We've got next year will be 50 years of this experience. And then we have the backbone, which is Bühler of Germany, who's got an additional 20 plus years of experience over us. So it's unique. It's very unique. And the markets we serve are the, yeah, your just general automation, automotive, EV, medical device, and wire devices. And there's some hardware applications too.
So it sounds predominantly what we'd call more regulated industries, where tolerance and quality are of paramount importance to the final finished componentry, where it can't fail,
Absolutely.
right? If it's going in a
Absolutely.
car, if it's going in a medical device. Looking at the hat you are now in the sales and marketing capacity, how do you convey that complexity when you're out there talking to people? Like, how do you boil
It's really
that
hard. It's
down?
really hard. And I think the best way to do is you literally you go and you grab a light switch and you hold up a light switch and say, we make this whole device here in Alpha, New Jersey. We do all the injection molding, all the stamping, all the assembly. We do that. So wrap your head around that. And that's what we can offer you. To even a suture needle, like a wire diameter of 6 thousandths of an inch that's being used for cardiac surgery. People are like, wait, you make that on a machine in New Jersey? Yeah, absolutely. We've developed a process with our partner, and we now make these tiny little needles for them. And they're like, such a broad spectrum. To get even crazier, we also make medical devices. And they're like, wow, that's nuts. And I go, to get even crazier, we make train car bearing covers for train car wheels and ABS parts for cars. They're like, whoa. And they're like, where's the commonality? The commonality is automation. It's metal stamping, it's metal forming, it's injection molding. So let's take all of those three separate areas and combine them into one machine. And it's hard. It's hard to convey that.
And having had the pleasure and the opportunity to tour the Bühler of America facility, I can honestly say to listeners, when you see this automation and these processes in action, it's almost like beyond comprehension, the speeds at which and the precision that these machines operate. It's almost takes your breath away. It's like, wow, it's like a rush. If you're a manufacturing nerd like I am, this is really cool.
When you think about it, we're making a light switch at 130, 120 parts per minute.
Yeah,
Complete assemblies.
that's
Wild.
it's amazing.
Every second.
You've referenced it a few times to the legacy of Bühler of America, of course, Bühler Germany. Obviously, Bühler Germany known for, and not to paint a broad brush, but typically German engineering, German manufacturing, German precision. But then you blend that with Bühler of America, that kind of our country known for that American market innovation. So you see those two kind of stories coming together when you're out there talking about Bureau of America?
Yeah. So, America here, we want the precision, we want the accuracy, we want that solid foundation. But here in the US, we also want things done really quick. So, we're able to feed back a lot of this information to Germany to say, we got to get faster. We have to be more efficient. They're like, how do we do that? This is how we're thinking we can do it here in the US. And we'll share our concepts and our ideas with Bieler Germany. And then we let them develop more technology to help us here in the US. So that's been really interesting. And that partnership really started with Otto Bieler and Barry Littlewood and Vulgan Shun when Otto said, I want you to go to America and sell Bieler equipment to the automotive industry. This is the 70s. It's booming. Detroit's just pumping out cars. And these presses just aren't keeping up. They're just not keeping up. These little metal parts being made on the stroke is too, they're just not keeping up. We have a technology where we can really speed up this process for these guys. And that's where it all started. And we've really been able to grow it from there. And with the help of Germany, helping us to really create this Bieler technology in Germany has just been paramount for us. So it's a great partnership. And here in the US, we not only service North America, United States, but all of North America, so Canada and Mexico too. With the shift of so much manufacturing happening now in Mexico, there's actually been a really big cry for more automation in Mexico. So we're seeing there's a gap there that we can really start to fill inside of that marketplace too now. So the US and now Mexico.
So there might be a future Bueller of America South, maybe, or Bueller of America LATAM or something. Bueller LATAM. I don't know.
Yeah,
Something like
we have a sales office now in Mexico and a service
that.
office in Mexico because
Okay.
we have a lot of machines down there now. Yeah,
It's
absolutely.
amazing the really Bueller of America in many ways did so much missionary work for the Bueller brand name and that equipment. Because until that, the Bueller America entity, it was probably somewhat of an, I don't want to say an unknown, but not as widely known. And now the name in manufacturing circles is broadly known and well regarded as a top tier solution. A lot of good hard work done, but not easy, I'm sure, across that span of years.
No, and it's hard when you're making a capital investment of over $1 million or right around $1 million for a machine, and it can go up from there really quickly. It's a big pill to swallow here
Sure.
in the US. When we look at, and I think this is the difference between the American market and the European market is the return on investment and how we look at it. So Europeans generally look at it like a 20, 30, 40-year ROI. Here in the US, we're at a 2-year, 3-year, 5-year ROI. It's completely different.
Yeah, it's
We're
funny.
working. I've got Bieler machines here that we've been running since the 80s. So this equipment, it does. It stands the test of time. So that's the other part of when we talk about marketing and trying to convey our message. It's I've got customers here that have refurbished their Bielers once, and it's a 1987 model. They've refurbished it once. They said, okay, this part's no longer being made on this Bieler machine. Now is the time to strip it down, send it to Bieler of America, have them refurbish, have them upgrade it, have them put a new gearbox, new drive, new slides. Let's get it repainted. Let's upgrade all of our control system. Let's bring it up to today's standards. And they do. And then we send it back and they put a new part. They start making new parts on it. So
That's pretty cool.
it's future-proofing, and that's really important about our technology is we are constantly future-proofing. So we're looking at current and old technology and how do we continue to utilize a basic Bieler machine and then continually upgrade it. But you still have that Bieler block that's going to be upgradable.
So that's got to, with the span of years that Bueller of America has been in effect, that's got to be a, I don't know if it's growing or just a sustaining or continuing part of your businesses then is reimagining or re-engineering legacy machines and repurposing them or making them more current ready or future ready, if you will. Is
It's
that
definitely a big segment of our business is refurbishing old Bieler machines for customers and bringing them up to quote unquote speed. It's definitely a huge part of our business. And yeah, customers are very happy that they're able to do that. There's not a lot of other similar types of equipment out there that they can do that today with or on.
Yeah, or at least having the option, Adam, to say you don't have to buy a new machine. We can help
We
you
can rebuild it.
rebuild this or make this last another 5 or 10 years or whatever it might be. And then
Absolutely.
across that span, you start to maybe capitalize and plan for a new addition or something like that. So
Absolutely.
even in like the past 12 years, my goodness, the industry has evolved, Bealer of America has evolved. When we look to the now, though, what are some of the innovations in manufacturing that are really exciting you right now?
Sure. For us, it's laser welding, it's laser cutting, it's servo technology. We're doing so much now with servos. We're getting away from mechanical cams and mechanical movements. The skill set's just not there anymore to understand all the complexities of mechanical movements. We live in a digital age now, right? We have transformed our technology to meet the demands of today. And it's servo. It's taking a cam profile and digitizing it and having the servo move based on a cam profile. So that's been really exciting for us. And that's been a huge uptick in what we're seeing all the new technology from a standard press to a complex Bealer machine. It's adding servo slides, adding a servo press, having servo motions everywhere where you can change how much that slide moves just on a computer screen. We used to have to say, oh, we need to shave the cam profile down. You do that, then you have to reharden the cam. So you're out a couple of days. And all you wanted to do was make that slide move a couple thou. Now it's a touch of a button. And what's great about it is the younger generations coming up, they're so tech savvy that for them, it's so easy. It's so easy. So that's what I'm really excited about is we have upgraded our technology to meet the demands and the skill sets that are out there today and planning for the future. So we've actually put a force slide at Pennsylvania College of Technology. So that way these young college students, they're coming in and they're learning how to design tooling for a force slide, how to build the tooling, they actually build the tooling, they do all the fit and debug, and then they do all the programming. So it's all the coding, they're learning all the movements, and they're understanding how to drive a servo machine. Yeah, it does. It gets me so pumped, truly.
And with a lot of manufacturers and contract manufacturers facing a scenario where there's a legacy workforce that's aging out or retiring, that probably represents a nice entree into I'll just say the Bealer of America experience, right?
It does. And the cool thing with the servo technology that we have is we developed a thing called lean tool technology. So it's quick tool changes too. So for these companies that they don't want to have multiple mechanical machines and oh my God, it takes days to set up, it takes days to get this part up and running. With the servo technology, you can have 10 different 1 million part jobs that you can run on one machine because you can break it down, set it up in a day and program recall, and all your slides move, and all your adjustments for your slides are already preset because of the servos. It's just really, it's making things more, it's allowing companies to be more capable, which is awesome. So we're, again, that is truly what we're so excited about is being able to support a smaller shop who has 10 different small jobs and they want one machine to do it all. And our servo technology allows for them to do that.
Wow. It also gives them, at least for your American or North American based customers, that faster payback, I would think, too.
Absolutely.
They can be
100%.
less downtime, more uptime, probably more throughput means a faster payback on that investment, I would think.
Higher efficiencies as well. Absolutely.
And knowing the precision of the less waste, less rejects, all that good stuff too, better tolerance.
Higher tolerance, less scrap as well.
So you touched a little bit, Adam, on some that the rising generation, more of a digitally minded emerging workforce. So let's talk about another technology that's showing up in virtually every industry, and that would be artificial intelligence, AI. Seems to be a transforming operations across many industries. As you look to Bealer of America, where do you see AI showing up, whether it's machine automation or predictive maintenance or maybe in service? How is AI starting to show up in your world right now?
Yeah, that's a great question. Fortunately, we haven't seen a ton of AI developed in this space yet. I've been reading some articles about how a lot of like the CNC machines, so like your big milling and grinding machines, lathe machines, they're trying to introduce AI there, right? First and foremost. So you shoot the program into the system, into whatever system that's going to write all the coding for that specific piece of equipment, and AI is going to be able to do it. So you're not having someone sitting there developing the code for your CNC milling machine. AI is going to do it for you. So you can have 10 different jobs, and one person's overseeing the AI writing the coding and maybe double checking it. That would be huge. It's hard, obviously. It hurts the workforce, but like we touched on, we also are at a kind of a weird position where we're not pushing to have this workforce be there. Trades aren't a hot topic. I feel like it comes and goes, but we do have an apprenticeship program here in New Jersey for tool making, and we're seeing a massive amount of kids, younger adults, wanting to be a part of that, which is great.
That's great.
But for AI, we're just not there yet with this technology. Maybe in the future with, yeah, predictive maintenance, our VC1 control already has that built into it. It says, hey, you're at 1 million hits, or you've been running the machine for this many weeks. Here's a list of maintenance items that you really need to do if you haven't done them yet. So we have that kind of built in. Right now, I think AI, though, for us, it's in our just day-to-day basics in the office right now, right? It's, hey, ChatGPT, I need to write an email about this. Can you just do this for me while I'm doing something else over here? I haven't seen too much AI in our automation yet.
Okay.
Now, Fabtech's coming up in a couple of weeks in Chicago, which is our big show. And I know for a fact we're going to start to see more AI developed into equipment. And I'm excited to see what it is, truly. I think it's
Yeah.
going to be really interesting.
I think it's going to be an exciting show in that regard because I can honestly say of every industry show that I've been to this year, it's like kind of AI is the topic.
Sure.
Irrespective of what's going on in the industry, AI seems to
Yeah.
dominate the conversation. I'm sure you'll see it showing up at FabTech.
And part of the AI in our world is robotics. We've seen a ton of robots, and we've been
Oh, yeah.
using robots in this arena for quite a while. We have a ton of Bühler systems here that we're using as contract manufacturing systems that have KUKA robotic arms picking up and moving parts from one line to the next. So that's been amazing. It offers us a whole another level of automation. So where it goes
So
from here is going to be really interesting.
it absolutely will be. And it seems like you've got a finger on the pulse of where it's going to move next. So that's exciting. Let me cast the spotlight back on you for a minute. Third generation leader in a sales and marketing capacity. First of all, do you ever reflect on that? And what does that mean to you to be, hey, when you walk in the door, hey, I'm third generation here. And then I guess secondly, what are some of the strengths or the flavor that you bring as the third generation to the business that might be unique or needed or different than maybe your mom or even your granddad?
Sure. So I'm lucky, and I'm very lucky to be able to wake up every morning knowing that I get to go to work and knowing that I have a great job. I'm incredibly lucky, and I don't take that for granted. I come here every day and I'm motivated. And it's a privilege to be able to say you're third generation. We all know the third generation is the make or break generation, right? So that's a daily remind. I remind myself every day of that. I also remind myself every day, it's what mark are you going to leave? And it's a challenge because my grandfather did so much. I'm 39, and I think about all the things he did by the age of 39 that he had done, right? My grandfather and I are only 40 years apart. Okay. So he's 79, and when he was my age, or sorry, next year, when I'm 40 next year, I'd be having a grandson. And I think about everything he did in that runway. I'm like, wow, that's amazing. Now, times are different today. There's a lot more checks and balances. He was a gunslinger. He just did things. He was reactive. Again, times are different. He was the boss. He was here. He could just make decisions, and off he went. Today, we have checks and balances. I can't be a gunslinger, and that's okay. because I may not have the best ideas. And we have these checks and balances to make sure that now, as a company, we've been established for 49 years, that everything we're doing, we're looking at before we do it. It doesn't make sense. Should we do it that way? Have we tried it before? We have all this knowledge now. We're not having to try to reinvent the wheel. So it is hard for me when I think about what legacy am I going to build? What legacy am I going to leave? And one of the things I want to continue as part of the Bealer of America legacy is staying family-owned and having multiple generations inside of Bealer. I'm not the only person here who's multi-generational. We have other employees whose children also work here now too. And
Wow.
that's so exciting. That is just
That's
so
cool.
cool.
That is cool.
So that's a huge part of it, Ed. And I also think too, I have Faye and I, we have this responsibility to keep this going, not just for ourselves and not potentially for our kids, but for everyone else that works here.
Yeah.
We want to make sure that they have a job every day, that they're getting a paycheck, that they're having their insurance, they have a 401k, vision, dental, that we're doing everything we can to make sure that everyone else that works here's quality of life is amazing. And I think that's really important. So I think part of our legacy going forward is to continue that. What else can we do? Grow the business. What else can we do? What else can we add? What are there any other areas of focus right now that we aren't focusing on that we could for the future? Yeah, absolutely. Are there any other growth opportunities that we could tackle? Yeah, absolutely. So I think as Faye and I grow into larger roles, I think that's when we'll really be able to make our marks here at Bealer. And it's definitely a challenge because when you walk around and you've got some tool makers here on the floor that have been here for 40 years or 30 years, they're looking at you like, what's he gonna do? What are you capable of? Because your grandfather did X, your mom's done Y. What are you gonna do? So it's interesting, and it's definitely something that I think about a lot. And yeah, it's sometimes it's stressful thinking about it. Like, how do we keep the wheels on and keep the lights on, and how do we keep going? But the good thing is we have such a good support system here, and we've surrounded ourselves with some amazing people here at Bealer that are truly motivating and have put a lot of belief in us. So it's exciting.
A couple of things resonated when you, first of all, the passion at which you speak about Bealer of America comes through hugely. And it's almost like I get excited just hearing you get excited.
Thank
So
you.
it's a very genuine passion, but also the maturity and wisdom that comes through when the way you speak about legacy. And as you were talking, I remembered, yes, you're on the younger side, but also you started really young. So really, you're not. You've had years of experience to cultivate and develop your mindset and your attitude about the business, about family, about legacy and leadership. It didn't happen overnight. You've been quietly working away at it for many years, starting at a very young age where others maybe stepped into the business around your age. You've had decade plus, and even going back to when you were little. So that's pretty awesome. So talking about your role now, what do you find that's most rewarding about playing that sales marketing role now? And conversely, what do you find is the greatest challenge?
Yeah, what I love about it now so much is just being able to have so many great conversations with potential new customers, someone finding us, like, hey, I found you and this is how I found you. And it's wow, great. So we know that works. Whatever that was, how they found us, whatever we're doing there, it's working. So how do we grow on that? In the age of marketing, it's not so much email blasts anymore, and it's not sending somebody a letter and inviting them to a trade show. People are annoyed by that. It's really, you have to just leave breadcrumbs everywhere, I feel like today. You have to have little breadcrumbs everywhere, whether it's on TikTok or it's on Instagram or it's YouTube Shorts. Everything's linking back to your website. It's just leaving these little breadcrumbs everywhere for people to be like, oh, cool. Oh, yeah, I saw that. Oh, Bealer, whatever. It's cool. Let's go check them out. That's important. But really, in this industry, it's word of mouth and it's that customer interaction, right? And supporting our customers, regardless if it's they need a Bealer system or they need a press system or something completely different. So having people come back to me being like, you helped me out with this. I think I have a new Bealer part. Talk to me. And it's having those conversations constantly. And I get really excited to see new parts. I get really excited to hear about how they found us. I get really excited to hear about, hey, we bought this old Bieler system from somebody, or, we heard about this Bieler system. Tell me more about it. I get really excited for that. And I also get really excited to try new things too. When it comes to marketing, we never really did much for the last 30, 40 years. So I feel having myself step in and running Bieler Flex or Bieler Med and having consumer brands underneath our umbrella here and pushing those brands into Home Depot, Lowe's, Walmart, Amazon, we can take what we've learned from marketing to a consumer market and make it applicable here to machine sales. And what does that look like? So that also makes me really excited too. Sorry, what I forget what the rest of the question was.
So, what you found most rewarding, and I think you answered that well. And I guess the other
Yeah.
side is, what's the biggest challenge in the kind of the sales marketing realm at Bureau of America?
I think the biggest challenge here is just having people be patient, to let them see the cycle, the full cycle. Is if we start a campaign here, we may not see the rewards for 2 to 5 years from now. It's a long sales cycle. So
Yeah, for
we can
sure.
invest money into trade shows and to make connections and to advertise and to promote those trade shows and to do videos, et cetera. But it's a long sales cycle because, again, it's a big purchase. There's a lot of people that have to see the benefits of the Bieler technology to put ink to paper to get that order. So I think that's one of the big challenges. I'm lucky that Maxine, my mother, is very supportive with our marketing initiatives and letting us do the things that we feel like we need to do. And she's always like, yeah, let's try it. We haven't done it before. Let's try it. Let's see what happens. But it's everyone else. We have to constantly convey, be patient. We're trying this. Let's see how it works. And I think from your end of being the marketing guy and trying to convince people like us, hey, nope, you need a runway. We're going to start here, but it's got to morph, right? Some things are going to work, and then we need to pivot. We need to change here. Okay, that works. And then we need to pivot. We need to try to change this here. And it's a constant learning process. That's, I think, at the end of the day, it's just trying to convey patience to everybody and show them the little wins you're getting along the way.
Excellent. Said. So I'm going to take you all the way back to the beginning of your journey, because a lot of people that are listening to this podcast are at the beginning of their journey. So they might be a young person that's maybe in their 20s or maybe 30s, but probably 20s, who's at that crossroads. Do I join the family business? Do I take another path? Taking yourself back and thinking about your experience, Adam, what piece of advice might you impart to a young person who's saying, do I join the family business? Do I go my own way? What do I do? How might you give them some guidance?
The same guidance that my grandfather gave me.
Okay.
Go out, see the world, understand some culture, get some perspective, right? Go out, learn who you are. You come out of high school, if you go into college, great. If you don't, take some time, figure out who you are, figure out what fascinates you, figure out what you're really good at. If you're in a position that you can try different things and be supported by your family, whether it's, hey, I want to work in a kitchen for a little bit and see, ooh, do I want to be a chef? Is that cool? And personally, I tried that. I'm super into bicycles, still am. I was like, man, I would love to be a bike mechanic and work at a bike shop. I did that. And I learned so much by doing it. It was such an amazing experience. I would say that would be it, is to go out and try different things. I think at the end of the day, a lot of our parents or families, especially when we get to the second generation, the third generation, because maybe the second generation, they didn't get that say. It was, I'm building this for you. You're going to take this over. That's what it's going to be. And so be it. And I think in the third generation, our parents have said, maybe I don't want that for my kids, but it's here for them if they so choose to have this. So go out, experience life, experience the world, and make sure that this is what you're passionate about before you do take the deep dive and you join, because there are going to be moments that are going to be incredibly stressful. There are going to be moments that are going to be incredibly hard, but at the end of the day, it can be incredibly rewarding.
Awesome. Awesome. Said, said. So now I'm going to cast you out in the future, 5 years out. How do you see Beeler of America evolving over the next, say, 5 years in terms of technology, maybe leadership, maybe market expansion or capability? What are some things that you see on the horizon or just beyond the horizon?
Yeah, it's hard right now. It's hard. It's just, I wouldn't say it's hard times, but it's just different right now with what's going on with the economy, what's going on with tariffs. There's a lot in limbo. I think in 5 years from now, I'd like to see just obviously the tariff conversation being solidified. Hopefully in 5 years, we can get that under control. I would love to see here at Beeler of America just more expansion into helping our people, providing more. And that could be something basic, like that can be having a fitness room here and trying to encourage employees to take care of themselves better and providing that to them. I think on a business front, it's looking at new opportunities, expanding on new opportunities, maybe expanding on some new technologies and offering those new technologies here at Beeler of America. It's expanding our contract manufacturing and who we're working with, maybe to bring in new contract manufacturing opportunities here in the US. On a global stage, I think it's looking at how do we expand into other markets and other territories. I mentioned Mexico.
Yep.
We all know that Mexico's had a manufacturing boom for the last decade or two, and it's continuing to grow. So I think it's looking at expansion there into the Mexican market and how we can service a lot of our customers better there. I think it's also growing our apprenticeship program here. Being able to offer more. I think the Build Back Better bill offers a lot for companies like us when it comes to trade schools and apprenticeship opportunities and having some funding there, which would be greatly appreciated, super helpful for the future. I think it's expanding on how we're able to service our customers here in the US, whether it's being able to manufacture more tooling for them, help in more design for them, helping to do more fit and debug here at Beeler of America. Looking at some different programs there. So yeah, I think there's definitely a lot. There's so many different avenues, and it's hard to just pick one and say we're going to focus on this one for now when we're trying to focus on five different umbrellas at once. And I know Faye and I have had some great conversations about what does the future look like? How can we shape it here at Beeler? How can we leave our mark? And I think at the end of the day, the conversations that we have together, we're in lockstep with each other. And I think that's really important. As the
That
two
is.
future leaders of Beeler of America, it's exciting. It's very exciting.
It sounds like a lot of opportunity, a lot of directions to go, but they all seem to point to similar roads in terms of strengthening relationships, strengthening talent and capability, strengthening the core of Beeler of America, and then smartly expanding and branching that out to reach new audiences. So, all good things. Final question. If somebody wants to learn more about you, Adam, your journey, or learn more about Beeler of America, what's the best way for them to connect?
Yeah, I mean, through our website, www.beeler.com. That's our standard Beeler website. From there, you can submit a submission form. You can obviously look me up on LinkedIn, Adam Nordmeyer. I more than welcome people to message me and follow me on LinkedIn. Instagram's private, sorry. But we do have a little bit of an Instagram following at Beeler of America. And then obviously, Beeler of America is on LinkedIn. So LinkedIn is our core social media platform. So if you're interested, getting the day-to-day or week-to-week peek behind the curtain, follow us on LinkedIn. That will be the best place to see what we're doing and what's going on and where we'll be coming up. And obviously, trade shows are a great place to be and to meet people. I go to most of all of our trade shows. We've got FabTech coming up in September from the 8th to the 11th at the McCormick Place. And then I will be at the Black Expo in Stuttgart in October with
Oh, wow. Okay.
Germany. And we're going to be looking to do a lot more trade shows next year, and I'll be at most of them. If you're interested in having a conversation or learning more about our technology or just having a conversation about business, I would love to talk to you.
Awesome. I appreciate that, Adam. Thanks so much. So, Adam, thanks so much for joining us today on Growing Up B2B. Hearing your balance, legacy, innovation, and a customer and people focus at Beeler America has really been inspiring, and you speak with such passion about it. Again, for our listeners, we've been speaking with Adam Nordmeyer, Sales and Marketing Manager at Beeler America, a third-generation leader at a company delivering precision automation across multiple key critical industries. And again, I'm your host, Ed D'Elia, and this is Growing Up B2B. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you next time. Adam, thanks so much for being on today.
Thanks, Ed. I really appreciate it, man. Hope
Awesome.
all is well. Cheers.
Cheers. Hey, thanks so much for tuning into Growing Up B2B. To explore more episodes and insights, visit podcast.dalianet.com. And if you've enjoyed this episode, please give us a rating or review on your podcast platform of choice. Having worked with hundreds of family-led businesses across my career, and being a second-generation leader myself, I'm on a mission to help every family business I meet achieve next-level growth for their organization. So feel free also to connect with me on LinkedIn and let's support each other. You can also find out more about my company at dalianet.com. Again, I'm your host, Ed D'Elia, and thanks so much for joining us today. Take care.